If you have your Bible this morning, would you join me in the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've got Acts, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll use the words right out of a verse here as our message and basically our theme this morning in the moments we have. And on the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down any scripture references you may want to take with you. We'll have some verses on the screen. I won't ask you to turn to them all, but we'll have them available for you if you want to write them down. That way you have them with you, you take it with you. Mainly, I hope that we get it in our heart and in our spirit. And so if you have your Bible, would you join me as we make this confession together? And let's really just say it, aware of what we're saying, that these words are going to be on our heart, and we're just going to express them with our mouths. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 32. 1 Corinthians 15, 32. And Paul the apostle here is writing, if in the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus. In other words, when he was at the city of Ephesus, humanly speaking, it was almost like people were attacking him, and it was like he was having to fight off the beast as he was there to seek to share the gospel and to establish a church there in that city. So he says, if I have fought beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? Why did I do it if the dead do not rise? And so some had a wrong belief about the resurrection, and the wrong belief led to wrong living. And so he said, if the dead don't rise, then, hey, let's just eat and drink because we're going to die tomorrow anyway. But he says in verse 33, do not be deceived. Would you say that with me? Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And then verse 34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. The message this morning is simply those three words, awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness. This week, we mark another year and we celebrate another year of freedom as a nation. And we sang a few moments ago, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. And God has been gracious to us as a nation. God has blessed us to be a blessing to many people, both here and around the world. And I believe one of our greatest blessings is the freedom to worship. Not everyone enjoys that freedom that we have. Some would pay a high price if they're caught gathering together as Christians in other areas of the world. And even a couple of the pastors we support, we can't go into all the details about them on our website, just because it could put them in danger. Another ministry we support is called the Voice of the Martyrs, those who have suffered persecution, possibly arrest, even death, for their faith in Jesus, and we want to be a blessing to them and to their families to help meet their needs. So I thank God for the freedoms that we have, and I thank God for those who came initially with a pure heart and right motives to share the good news of Jesus and secure these blessings for us. You know, some of those Puritan and Pilgrim believers who came over, they signed, there's a document called the Mayflower Compact. And that document says they came, part of it was to for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. And so I thank God that they had a righteous influence in our founding. Now, of course, others came for unrighteous purposes. But there was enough of a righteous influence that sought to not only confront but correct those evils like slavery. And I'm thankful that it was under the Christian influence that we actually embraced as a nation what the Bible teaches, that every human being is created in the image of God and is valuable for that reason and does not should not be treated like property. And of course, over time and in recent years, I would say especially in recent years, we've seen a great decline in our moral and spiritual state, first as a church, as the people of God, and then also in society at large. And I want to read a few verses from Jesus in Matthew 5 in just a moment, if you want to write that down, Matthew chapter 5. But this morning, I really like to address us as the people of God, as the church, because of what I'm going to read from Jesus here, you'll see, I believe it needs to start with us. If we really want to see something different in our nation, that we could be better and we could improve as a nation, I believe it starts with the people of God, because he said we are the salt and we are the light to be that righteous influence. So Matthew chapter 5, if you just want to stay there in 1 Corinthians, I'll come back. But let me read these verses in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 10, because I wanted you to see the context of the salt and light here. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." That's so important. Not just persecuted because we're being, you know, arrogant or whatever, but we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. "Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Then he says in verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." So as the salt of the earth, and he's not just speaking to individuals, he's speaking to believers as a whole here, it's corporate. And so he's saying, as you are the salt of the earth, but if we lose our distinctiveness, our flavor, our saltiness as the salt of the earth, then we lose, in a sense, our purpose for which God would have us here. So then he goes on in verse 14 and he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Then one more verse, 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Awake to righteousness. And I believe that's a now word for us. And I'm not a church basher. I love the church. I thank God for the church. But as a church, as I would say, especially here in our, and we might say the Western world, we, if we would be honest, I think we would have to admit, we have lost some of our saltiness as the salt of the earth. And we have hidden to a measure the Lord's light within us. And yet this morning, I come with hope. I genuinely believe that it's not too late. I believe that God is able to bring an awakening and revival to his church that will result in a harvest of Christ followers here and in every nation of the world, as the Bible prophesies. So I believe God is able to do it, but he calls us as his laborers in this harvest, and we have a part to play. Awake to righteousness. I look this word up, awake, and it's not just like I wake up from sleep. It actually has the idea, and it's translated this way in many translations, to come to one's senses. So awake to righteousness is like, come to your senses, brothers and sisters, and do not sin. Come to your senses, or to sober up. It's like we can allow ourselves to be in a drunken stupor spiritually, and the Lord says, it's time to sober up, awake to righteousness. That's the first part. And then do not sin. So this morning, I would like to ask you to try to remember to help me out here this morning. And when I say awake to righteousness, Would you say the rest of that verse with me? In fact, if you're looking at it there, if you're still in 1 Corinthians 15, would you look at it in verse 34? Awake to righteousness and do not sin. So awake to righteousness, and then would you say this with me? And do not sin. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. So let me give just two ways I believe that we can awaken to righteousness this morning, of how we could practically live it out. And here they are, just to awaken, first of all, to our need, and then second, to awaken to our identity. To awaken to our need, and then to awaken to our identity. And if you look back at, again, 1 Corinthians 15, as I said earlier, some in this church had a wrong belief about the resurrection, and as a result, it led to wrong living. Actually, any wrong belief can lead to wrong living. And so he says this in verse 34 once again. He says, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. In other words, there were some in the church who really didn't know God. And as a pastor, and I think everyone here, don't we want non-Christians to come to our services? Of course we do. We want non-Christians to come. But we hope that they won't stay non-Christians, that they would come and that they would become followers of Jesus too. I don't remember this brother's name. I wasn't familiar with him, but maybe a year ago or so, I remember seeing him on one of the Christian programs. But I like how he said, Jesus said, come as you are, but don't stay as you come. And I like that. Come as you are, but isn't that true for all of us? Come as you are, but don't stay as you come. That as we continue to come together in fellowship and worship and serving the Lord together, that we would grow more like Jesus, or that we would come to know him. So here, he was saying, some of you don't know God at all, but in that case, it was filtering through and having an effect in the church. Before I read these verses, in fact, if you want to just turn back one book there to Romans chapter 10, if you would look at these verses with me, Romans chapter 10. Awaken to our need. Awaken to our need. We need the truth of God's word to awaken us to our need, first of all, to be in right relationship with God, to be righteous. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3. He's speaking of those who are very religious. In fact, he was one of them. The man writing these words was what was called a Pharisee, very religious group there in Israel at the time, and they were leaders among the people of God. He says, for they, being ignorant or unaware, it's not a put down, they were just unaware of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness. Let me pause there just a minute. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, every man will proclaim his own goodness. And, you know, we might say, yeah, I think I've sinned, but I'm a pretty good person. And I know, humanly speaking, we can agree, and I understand that. But as far as the holy God is concerned, none of us are that good. We're not righteous before him. And so we don't have to, because we can't anyway, try to establish our own righteousness. This is what he says in that verse. He goes on and he says, for seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. That's all God wants us to do, is to come to him in faith and submit to the righteousness that he provided for us through Christ on the cross. So awake to righteousness. Would you say that with me? Awake to righteousness and do not sin. You got it. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. Then if you drop down to this is still Romans chapter number 10, verse 9 says this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be rescued from sin and death. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So our sin separates us from a holy God, and we cannot bridge that gap. But God loved us so much that he bridged the gap for us by sending his son to take on our humanity, and on the cross, he took on our sin. When Jesus suffered and died on the cross, he paid for every sin. Please think about this a moment. He paid for every sin that every human being has ever lived, has ever committed, is committing, and will ever commit. He bore the wrath and judgment of God against all sin when his soul became an offering for us on the cross. He died on the cross to forgive us. He came back to life from the dead to make us righteous. That's what the Bible says. He was delivered up for our offenses, but raised for our justification. So he rose again from the dead. He came back to life to make us righteous to a holy God. And I thank God. See, that's we have to awaken to our need, because it's the loving conviction of God's Spirit that awakens us to our need, first of all, to be forgiven and be in right relationship with God. So he draws us to not just come to church, but to come to Jesus with faith in our heart. That's the key. Anyone can repeat a prayer out of their mouths, but we have to believe with our heart that Jesus really is Lord, and then we are forgiven and we are made righteous with him. And then it's not just for unbelievers. To awaken to our need is also for us as Christians, that we need the loving conviction of God's Spirit to awaken us to our need whenever we are not right with God, whenever we are not in full fellowship with him, so that we come back to him in repentance and that we stay in close fellowship with him as well. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. Would you say that with me? Awake to righteousness and do not sin. So again, we awaken to our need, and then second, to awaken to our identity. And if you would go back now just two books to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, awaken to our need and awaken to our identity. How are y'all in temperature? You okay? It was warm. I don't want to freeze you out, but we have the flow blocked up here until I get it down, Lord willing, this week. So awaken to our need, and then awaken to our identity. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, who?
Anyone.
He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when we recognize our need, we awaken to our need, we come to Jesus and we receive him, we are born of God's Spirit, then he gives us a new identity. The Bible says that believers' new identity is in Christ. And every time the Bible says in Christ, in Jesus, in him, in whom, whatever is linked to that is ours. That's who we are. It's not just what we have, it's who we are. We have a new identity. And how we identify ourselves is very important, because it affects how we live. Awake to righteousness. So when we are in Christ, he makes us new. Would you look at verse 21? 2 Corinthians 5, 21. And this is speaking of the Father, for he, the Father, made him the Son, who knew no sin. Jesus did not sin, but he made Jesus that sin offering for us on the cross, the Bible says, that we might become. Notice that. It doesn't just say that we might do. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. So in Christ, you are new. In Christ, you are the righteousness of God. Not just that you can do a good deed, you are the righteousness of God. And that's so important. You know, we hear a lot today about our, you know, identity. I like to think of it like this. Let's let the one who loves us most identify us. Others love us, but let's let our maker. In fact, while I'm thinking about it, I'm glad I said that word. I had a couple of new articles on the table back here today, so if you'd like to check them out before you leave, just take one with you. But in one of them, it says something like, the title is, if we reject our maker, you know, we kind of make ourselves spiritual orphans. And we can identify ourselves in so many different ways. And whatever someone may think about themselves or however they may identify themselves, That's why we got to come back to truth. We've got to say what the Lord says about us. And if we believe what the Lord says about us, then we can live up to who He says we are. That's the ultimate goal, is that we would believe Him and then awake to righteousness, not live in sin, but live to the glory of God. That's what He wants. He made us new for a purpose, that we could fulfill our destiny in Christ, and so that we could give Him glory and our lives could make a difference in time and eternity. My heart goes out to anyone who struggles with some type of identity issue. It's not a put down at all. I'd like to come along and be a help. I'd like to be a word of love and truth to say, why don't you let the Lord define you? He loves you, and He proved it on the cross. And believe God for who He says you are, and then live out that truth in your daily life. But if we are in Christ, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And I just believe, I want to say this morning, awaken to the truth of God's word. Awaken to who Jesus is. Awaken to His mercy toward you. Awaken to His grace in you. Awaken to the new life that you have in Christ, and awaken to His perfect sacrifice and ministry. Awaken to His love for you, and let Him define you, let Him identify you, and live up to who He says you are. We sang earlier, I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I'm a child of God. And so I thank God we get that word in us and live it out. I'm going to mention someone that I guess most of you will know. I'm not saying it to attack him. I hope he's learned from it and grown from it, as I hope we all do if we do something maybe foolish. But I just want to say it to illustrate a point. Years ago, I was in New York. That's how it stands out to me. I remember seeing it on maybe a newspaper. It might have been a tabloid or something. But someone, a young man in another country, had like an army, like maybe military type suit on, but he had a band around his arm that had the swastika sticker on it. And I'm going to think that he probably wasn't the only person on the planet who had a swastika that day. But the reason he made world headlines was because of who he was. Does anyone remember? Prince Harry. But the reason it made headlines is because he was considered royalty, and that type of behavior was beneath him. Y'all see that? And so when the Lord says, you are a royal priesthood, and you're my sons and daughters, and you're the righteousness of God in Christ, that type of lifestyle, He's saying, is beneath you. I want you to believe me. Awake to righteousness, and don't live that way. Awake to righteousness, and do not sin. Does that make sense? So awake to righteousness and do not sin. So awaken to our need and then awaken to our identity. I want to close with just a few verses here if you want to write these down, because I believe God gave a prescription and a promise to Solomon for the nation of Israel when the people as a whole turned away from God and were committing sin. Not just a person, but as a nation, they committed sin. God gave them a promise of what He said, if you take these three steps, then I'll do this for you. And it's an important scripture, I believe. And some may say, well, that's Old Testament, that was for Israel. I know. But I would also say this, the three actions, I'll give you New Testament verses for to show that it's not just for Israel. And if you remember Jonah, remember the prophet Jonah? He didn't go to Israel preaching, he went to Nineveh preaching. And the Bible says they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and God spared them from judgment. So I believe there is an application for us as individuals, and certainly for us as the church and the people of God today. And here is the scripture, if you want to write it down. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14 says, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's the first, and pray and seek my face, second, and turn from their wicked ways, the third. Then notice what God says He will do. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. So let me just close with these three verses to go along with those steps, if you want to just write them down. First of all, he says, if my people who are called by my name, I know that was Israel, God still has a plan for them, I believe, as a nation in that land, but aren't we as Christians called by the Lord's name today? So awake to righteousness and do not sin has a place for us. So then humility awakens us to our need. See, pride says, I don't need to pray. I don't need to seek the Lord because I'm good on my own. But humility says, no, I need the Lord. And not just to forgive my sin one time. I need him every day in my life. So humility then recognizes our need. And James gives us a word on that in James 4:6, where he says, but God gives more grace. Therefore, God says, God resists the proud. That word literally means to withstand. So if we rise up in just self, seeking, self-pleasing, whatever it may be, then God would withstand us because he says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Thank God for, I need grace. So I better keep myself humble because I need grace not only to get to heaven, which I do, I need grace in my daily life. Because grace is not just God's favor, it is, but it's also his empowerment. I need his favor, but I need his help. I need his power and strength to help me overcome sin. I need his help to guide me in leading me in the right way. So awake to righteousness and do not sin. Would you say that with me? Awake to righteousness and do not sin. So then he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and then he says this, and pray and seek my face. Seek God's presence. Seek God's will. So if I'm humble enough to recognize my need, then the corresponding action, and I pray this for our leaders, is that not only we would recognize our need, but they would seek the Lord to meet the need. That we seek God and we seek the Lord's will in prayer. And then Jesus said these words from the Garden of Gethsemane the night he was betrayed and arrested. He told his disciples, New Testament, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Would you turn to someone next to you and tell them that? Watch and pray. That means be alert, be aware of what's going on so that we pray effectively. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can I get a witness? Help us, Lord, is right. But help us, Lord, to watch and pray. Not just watch and complain. Watch the news and bash everyone else. But watch, be aware, but then pray and invite God into that situation. So watch and pray. And then lastly, would you turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, and I'll close with these words again from Jesus. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. So we humble ourselves before the Lord. We seek him. We seek his will in prayer. That's what he told us, to pray for his will to come, his kingdom to be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. And then that scripture in 2 Chronicles said that we would then put action to our prayers and turn from our wicked ways. Any pride, any selfishness, greed, unforgiveness, immorality, whatever it may be, we turn from our wicked ways. And then God would do his part. Jesus says this to his church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, you're doing a lot of good things. Nevertheless, I have this against you. This is something I know you're going to, doing the works and so forth, but I want more than just your action. I want your heart. I want to be first place in your life. So he says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love, or they were in the process of getting away from the Lord. In some translations, it says that you don't love me or love each other like you used to. And so the Lord is calling us back. That's what repentance means. It's like a turning or return, but it also means to change our mind. It's like we agree with what God says. Then verse 5, so he says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Remember, if there is a time in any of our lives where we were closer to the Lord than we are today, would you remember? Think about that. Remember from where you've fallen and then repent. I'm going to use a little play on the English words here. You ever heard of a penthouse suite? Say in a building in, you know, maybe New York or anywhere. Is that typically in the basement? So remember from where you've fallen and repent. Come back up close to me where you belong. Repent. Come up to the penthouse suite of obedience to my will. Come up to being in full fellowship with me as your heavenly Father. Awake to righteousness and don't sin. That's below you. I want more for you. I want better for you. Come up with me and let me give you grace. Stay close to me and I'll help you do my will. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. Whatever may happen in our country, I'm not going to pretend to know. That's the Lord's business. But I will say this, based on the assurance of his word, that if we do what God says, that we will be right with God. That if we do what God says, we will be in close fellowship with him and have the joy that he will give us from being in close fellowship with him. If we do what he says, we will be his faithful ambassadors, and God can use us to reach others around us, because I believe the greatest change, as much as I would like to see things change in our nation or in, you know, wherever, Washington or anywhere else, I know the greatest change must begin in our heart, and that's not done by a man, it's done by God himself. Amen. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. Brothers and sisters, let's do what God says. Let's do 2 Chronicles 14, and then let's trust God with the results. I said earlier, God is able to bring an awakening and a revival to his church. Let's do our part, and then, because revival and an awakening starts with us. It doesn't start with people who don't know the Lord. Awakening and revival starts with those who do know God, that we would be in close fellowship with him, and then he can use us. I'll say it this way. Then we'll be salty and bright. We'll be full of flavor, and we'll be a bright, shining light. We'll be the salt of the earth that others can taste and see that the Lord is good, and we'll be a light to point others to the way, the truth, and the life. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. Can we stand together as we close in prayer? Just in this moment right now, would you just focus on the Lord from your own heart? And I would like to just lead us in a prayer, and we'll have a song. But I would like to lead us in that prayer of, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way. See if there be any way that offends you in me. And Lord, lead me in the right way. Would you just take a moment right now and just ask the Lord to just search your heart. Say, Lord, I don't want to do anything that's going to hinder your will, not only in me, but even in our nation, in your church. I don't want to hinder your spirit in the church. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. So whatever that area, if there's anything, you don't need to come up with something. The Holy Spirit will let you know. But if there is, would you just be willing to lay it down right now? Just repent in your heart and just say, Lord, this is wrong. It's not like Jesus. And I ask you to forgive me, but also ask you to help me and cleanse me. Lord, you told us that if we would humble ourselves and we would pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, that you would forgive our sin. Lord, we thank you would hear us and you would even bring healing to a nation. We need to be healed within our heart first in our walk with you. So help us, Lord. Awaken us to our need. Then help us to believe the truth of who you say we are. And may we have grace to live it out. In Jesus' name.